thanks for inviting me here. I get that there's like a little weirdness, like there's a whole bunch of ladies and there's just like one of me, and like I get like that's a little unusual, but I really do count it as an honor to be with you. Let me start off with a word of prayer, and then I'd like to just start off our time together with a little bit of encouragement. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the opportunity that we have here, Lord, to be people of God, sitting under the authority of God, living under the rule and reign of Jesus. And Lord, you've not cast your gaze somewhere else. You've been attentive to our every need. You see us in the ups and downs and the ins and the outs, and you've not left us to our own devices. You've given us your presence, you've given us your Son, and Lord, for that we are eternally and forever grateful. Lord, I pray that what you would do in this community of women is that you would awaken them to their first love, which is Jesus. And I pray that would be the force that would change the way that they live their lives in the workplace and in their family and their marriage and their parenting and grandparenting. Lord, in the relationships that they have. Lord, that Jesus would be the source of all of their life. Lord, we pray that, Lord, I pray that this would be a place where women can find long-term relationships, Lord, that they cultivate the fruit of friendship. And I pray that this is a gift, one that keeps on giving. Lord, I pray for the woman who is scared to put herself out there. Lord, she's been hurt. Her trust has been expended in a way that she can't get back. Lord, I pray that she'll keep pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and entrusting you to be the one to fill her up. Lord, we just give you our time together, and we pray that we would center around your love, Lord, the love that you show us through your Son, and Lord, that we might be changed as a result. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So just a brief word of encouragement. Good job, everybody, for like showing up week in and week out. And I mean that like not like as a participation ribbon for showing up, but like it's easy for you to choose to be lonely and disconnected. It's easy to choose to not grow or be challenged. And I think the fact that you're here practicing vulnerability, showing up with a bunch of other women, I think is an encouragement that you've chose something better. So a little golf clap for you today. Yeah, that's good. Sherry did a great job last week. I got the chance to kind of hide in the back. I was lurking in the dark over there with Joshua, so that was pretty fun. And she gave me a little latitude this morning to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'm going to try to do my best to stay as close as I possibly can and to be faithful, yet also faithful with what I feel like the Lord has called us to step into this morning. And from what I understand, I've got at least an hour with all of you. Just teasing. But I just, you know, I was listening to the prayer request, and thanks for those who felt comfortable enough to share. There's always a group of people who feel like their problems are insignificant, and somebody else has got a bigger issue. And it sounds like the direction that we're going to step this morning is probably good for a bunch of people who are carrying around a little bit too much. So as you all know, you're kind of in this overall series in the fruit of the Spirit. And this is found in Galatians chapter 5. But in Galatians chapter 5, this is actually paired against another list. So there are two lists. The first is called the work of the Spirit. And this is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. The work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And in the first list, the work of the flesh, this is where we often end up without God's help. And the other, the fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit that God produces in our lives as we submit to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And I think of the ongoing Holy Spirit as the active work of God in our life to make us more like Jesus. So there really are two different ways to live. You can live a life where you'll end up on your own, and that's the work of the flesh. Or you'll end up a life lived in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and that's where the fruit is. I always love this line. Sometimes you need to go out on a limb because that's where the fruit is. And really, that's the extension of our trust. That's where we put our faith and our hope in what God can do, not in what we can do, and trust that he's going to show up to provide. And many of you have so many stories in which God has shown up and he's showed out. And you've got an incredible track record that can encourage the women at your table for why it's worthwhile in trusting Jesus. And so as we look at that list in Galatians 5, and it starts in verse 22, love is not just the first fruit that's listed. I think it's arguably the most important because it's the fruit that binds all of the other fruit together. And so you don't get joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control if you don't get love first. And I think a biblical definition of love isn't going to be based on emotion or preference or duty. Like a lot of what we do is out of duty or obligation. What we find actually is that love is a core attribute of God. This is a part of his character. This is who he is. And so every definition and application of the conversation of love has to start from the person of God. And part of being followers of Jesus is that we're going to, over time, become more like him. Does that make sense? We're going to, over time, become more like Jesus. And I think it's kind of one of the miracles of the Christian faith is that God is willing to share himself with us. Like, I don't know that you find that in an exhaustive overview of other religions or worldviews. It seems that in other perspectives, we have to hike up the mountain to get to God. And rather, this is God now come down to us. And he's willing to share his life with us, but also not just his life, but he's willing to share many of his core attributes. And this is what's throughout the history of Christian tradition and theology is called communicable attributes. And communicable attributes sounds like what your kids bring home from daycare and they give you. But really, like this is the things that God is that we get to share in. And so we get to grow in disciplines like love and mercy or truthfulness or holiness. And in the same way, there's incommunicable attributes, things that God is that we can't be. You know, like we can't be all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at all times, no matter how many activities you sign your kids up for. Y'all feel that a little bit in your soul? So we get to share in a part of what God is giving of himself. So here's where we're starting with as love is a fruit of the Spirit, that God is love, and he is producing in you one of his most defining characteristics. And so Sherry's given you just a bunch of material on the subject of love, and hopefully you'll take the time to review some of that. And what you'll notice in Sherry's material is that God's love is active. It is not passive. What you'll also notice is that God's love is not sacrificial, or it is sacrificial in nature. It's consistent in how it shows up, but it's also unconditional in its application with others. But what I want to kind of do this morning is I want to look at love in our own lives. And I want to specifically think about this with all of you, that you are mothers and grandmothers and aunts and friends, and you are influential women in our community. And yet I fear that what you'll end up doing is you'll try to hold everything together for so many. And my first concern is how you'll keep on loving when you're empty. And I think that you know this, I know this, I sense this in myself, and I see this in my wife, and I see this in so many wonderful women in our community, that like you pour out love constantly. Is that tracking with anybody? You're always expending. And because of that, and I think because of the demands of your life, it's natural to try and want to manufacture that kind of love when you're empty. And then you feel guilty that you can't keep giving. Like, does that sound familiar? You just need a little break. You need a refresh. You need a renewal. You need to fill up the thing that's been poured out. So here's what I want to share this morning. Is that God's love, and it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit produced in us, is not about you trying harder. It is about first filling you up in the places that you're empty. I want to talk about what this looks like in real life. You know, when we say, like, God is love, like, that has a tendency to feel abstract. But what if I told you that understanding God's love is actually the key to not feeling constantly empty? What if it's actually the secret to loving when you feel empty? So I want to show you what this looks like by taking you to one of the most famous passages about love in the Bible. But here's what we're going to do. We're not going to read it like a nice poem for a wedding. So many of you know where I'm going. We're going to read it as a mirror. It is a way to understand both God's love for us and how his love can change us. So If you do have a Bible, hopefully you brought one, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. If not, it's going to be up there on the screen. Oh my gosh. Thank you to Joshua, my lovely Vanna White in the back. He's great. He's so good. Let me read this. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. So I really do actually like the discipline of thinking about this passage as if it were a mirror. And if you're going to do this, it's going to require a certain level of honesty about love and what love is producing in us. And so if you were to look at the passage and you'd say, well, like, patient? Like, what do you mean? Like, when my kids are melting down? Like, can I possibly be patient? Can I be kind? Like, not when I'm running on empty and the last person to do something stupid at Safeway is going to get the full degree of my wrath. Y'all feel that sometimes? What about not keeping score? It's hard to do just when the hurts keep stacking up and stacking up and stacking up. Or what about not being self-seeking? And if you're always pouring out, it's a little hard to do when you can feel like no one sees your sacrifice. So here's, I think, the beautiful truth to all of this. It is the Holy Spirit that grows this love in us, and we don't have to force this. So I want to show you something powerful about this passage. Every time you read love is or love does, you could actually put God is or God does. Because what we're remembering here is that God is love. So we're going to look at the passage, and I'm going to put a little twist to it. Like, God is patient with you when you lose it on your kids. God is kind. He's kind to you when you feel like you failed. God keeps no record of your wrongs, even the ones that you cannot forget. God is not self-seeking. He gives and he gives and he gives without demanding anything back. So do you see what this does? This completely changes the whole dynamic. Like, before this becomes a checklist of how we should love others, it is actually a picture of how God loves us. do you know those moments when your kid does something absolutely wonderful, like, you know, draws you a picture or gives you an unexpected hug? I really like those moments. We got a 5-year-old at home. Sometimes I have to ask him what he drew. And other times, like, he'll come up to hug me, and then he'll lick one of our faces. You know, but what I'm learning is, like, I love those moments, but I don't love them more in the moment. My love is not based on the things that they do or they don't do or how well, you know, my kids can draw pictures of unusual things. Like, that's not how I treat them. Like, that's exactly how God loves us. He's not waiting for us to get it all right. He's not holding back his love until you become a better mom or wife or friend. And here's what I think is wild, is that understanding this could actually help us love others better, because when we stop trying to earn love, we stop requiring others to earn it as well. And here's what I think I've learned in all of my years of being a mom, is you can't pour out what you haven't first received. Does that make sense? You can't give away what you do not possess. And I think you definitely can't manufacture this kind of love on your own. And so what I want to do is I want to give you just a practical tool, because I think that's really helpful in your day-to-day walk. I want to give you a really practical way to receive God's love this week. Are you all mental list keepers? I gotta go home, I gotta take the laundry out. I actually have laundry in the dryer right now that I need to take out. You got to make a phone call to somebody who's waiting on you. You got to book that appointment that you haven't. Like, these become the I should have or I didn't do enough lists. And at the end of the day, like, that's an exhausting world to live in. What if instead of beating yourself up, like, you started each day by letting God remind you of who you are? You are not a supermom. You are not a perfect wife, but you are his daughter. And one of the things that Scripture is really key on is that you are his beloved. I love Song of Solomon 7:10. I am his beloved, and his desire is for me. And this is regardless of the thing that I produce or that I don't produce. And so maybe what you should do in the morning is, maybe if you're dropping kids off at school or that first cup of coffee, is I just invite you to think about this as a regular discipline, to pause what you're doing and you can receive. And here's what I think is the difference in this, because a loved person loves differently. And so you can soak that in so you can give it away to somebody else. And what I think this does is it actually gives you a capacity for your life that you otherwise didn't have, the capacity that allows you to receive rest when you're tired or to be filled when you're empty. Because if it is a fruit of the Spirit, it's the Lord who's going to be the one to give it to us. So we don't have to worry about manufacturing it. We can go back to the source to get filled up. And I totally get the tendency to feel defeated by the task of always pouring out. But I think that there's real freedom when you realize that you are already loved exactly the way that you are. I think there's a different freedom when you realize that you don't have to earn this and that you can rest in his love first, and then you can allow that what you've received from God to be the thing that overflows to others. And so I think a starting place for us to reflect on in this kind of pause and receive moment is where do you need to receive love before you give more? Where do you need that affirmation from God? Where do you need his constant reminder that he will show up? And so I really think it's helpful if we get more and more practical about this. Because knowing we need to receive God's love is one thing, but always like that question is like, how? How do we do this? How do we receive God's love? I think there are three things that we often miss. We try to earn what's already given. Think about your kids again for a moment. Do they ever have to earn your love? Some days it feels like it. Yet we often think that we have to earn God's love. Like, he already loves you. Messy house, imperfect parenting, all of in between. We also forget that receiving love takes time. Like, think about your life like a garden. This is what sometimes I'll tell my boys when we have to discipline them. Like, dude, I love you so much, but this is a weed that's growing in your life, and I can't allow this weed to grow in your garden. I gotta pull it out. But your life can be like a garden too, and it needs regular watering. It needs regular watering. Just like any relationship needs regular connection. And so we need daily moments, and sometimes these are planned moments, and sometimes these are moment-by-moment moments to let his love seek in. And what I would just say to this is, like, this is not another task to add to your already relentless to-do lists. This is a permission to rest, and that God is not keeping record of your wrongs. He's reminding you first and foremost of the identity and the thing that he has done for you. I think the third thing that we do is we overlook where God's love is already showing up. I think there are small moments of grace day in and day out through the people that he's placed in our lives. Like, that's why you all get to break off into small groups, because you've built a community of women that hopefully that you can call if push came to shove and you needed to hide a body at 2 a.m. that they're going to provide an airtight alibi, you know? Like, so, like, let me just remind you that the ladies at your table are a gift to you, and that God wasn't wrong. He wasn't mistaken for placing these women in your lives. Like, they are a gift, so treat them as a gift. And I think, like, in the small moments of grace, through the people that he's placed in our lives, like that's in the hard times that the Lord often grows us, is through these cultivation of relationships. So here's what, if I could, like, give you anything to take home today, is that you don't have to be the source of love for everybody. That sounds like an impossible job that you can't actually do. And you're not meant to manufacture what only God could give. And your first job isn't to love better, it's to be loved better. I feel like that's just a way better way to live our lives. So here's my very practical challenge. Like, take 5 minutes each day, maybe coffee, maybe you're hiding in the bathroom, like we've all been there. And I just want you to receive. Let God love you. Let him remind you that you're his daughter, that he delights in you, that he is not disappointed in you. And here's what I know about the fruit of the Spirit, is that I think when you start there, everything else flows naturally together. I think the patience will come easier, the kindness will flow freer, the scorekeeping fades, not because you're trying harder, but because you are filled more. So I want to just do a little like public exercise in vulnerability, if you feel comfortable with it. I would love if there was somebody who is willing amongst you and your tables, is if you'd be willing to share where you most need to receive God's love right now. And what I want to do is I want to protect that, and I just want to pray for you and give it up to the Lord together and invite him into to covering you with that love. So if there's anybody who wants to share, like, I'd love to. And maybe you're like, that feels really weird to air out my dirty laundry in front of everybody else. And maybe it's just as simple as like, these children are going to be the death of me. Or maybe it's like, I'm not quite sure how to show up for the emotional needs of my husband. Or my sibling relationships are strained. Or I wish I could do more for my parents. You don't have to, but I just wanted to encourage it. Just because I think that it's something worth praying about. What's your name?
Sheila.
Sheila, let's pray for you. Sheila, God, you love her. And while the outward appearance feels like it's wasting away, or there might be problems with health, Lord, this is the season which you are most present. And Lord, you are powerfully connected to her and the issues where she needs your grace and your strength and your help. Lord, let her not to see that she's flawed or that her body is broken. But Lord, let her see that you are so present and attentive to her every need. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would provide comfort and peace to Sheila. And Lord, she would see, Lord, as she looks at herself, that you love her. And we pray this in your name. Amen. I'd love to pray for anybody else who wants to just share. Thank you, Sheila, for being bold. That was awesome. For everyone who wasn't bold, they're awesome too, I guess. But, there's like, I just wanted to make the opportunity. Sometimes like when you, there's like a little freedom in that. So James says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. You've just invited the Holy Spirit in the midst of a bunch of friends to start the process of healing. So how about this? I've got a couple of extra questions that I didn't send this to, maybe I did. I think I sent this to Kristen ahead of time. Do y'all have phones? Y'all take photos? Maybe a good thing you can do to ask at your table is additionally ask these questions. Is can you share a recent moment when you felt truly loved by God, big or small? An opportunity for you all to share together. But on empty days, what small way helps you pause and receive love instead of just giving it? So I'd love for you to think about those different areas and those different instances. Thanks for inviting me. I've had a lot of fun today. I'm probably going to drink some of your coffee on my way out. I hope that's okay. Can I pray for all of you? God, we just give you thanks and praise and all the glory that you're due. Lord, you do love us. You love us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. And I don't want to forget ever how much that cost. Lord, you saw every woman in this room as worth dying for. And Lord, I think that's a sweet start. Lord, where they feel like they're broken, where they feel like they're busy, where they feel like they're empty, you've reminded them that your affection, their identity, the place in which they start each and every day isn't based off of what they do or what they don't do. You've called them your beloved. And even in the ins and the outs, Lord, you have still, day in and day out, said that your desire is for them. But I feel like when there's an opportunity to run through the lists on our minds and to feel like we aren't enough, that you'll call us back to our true source of love. You, what you've done for us, who you called us to be. We'll just pause and receive, and it'll be a gift of grace. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would use your love to transform the lives of these women. Lord, that it would heal generations, it would launch into the most loving future for kids and grandkids. I pray that it would leave a legacy of love across relationships, friendships, and acquaintances, and everywhere in between. I pray that where these women feel empty, they'll seek you. And what we'll see is a whole generation of women who are the most full that they've ever been. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Pat.